But I have our pastor and our assistant pastor really don't know how to direct you. And hopefully I'm not too red right now. But that was a little embarrassing. But good stuff does come from Brooklyn. I'll just make a joke that that's how I deal with fear and whatnot. So I get a little funny when I'm a little nervous. But while we're standing, funny to me anyway. But I want to give honor to God and to our pastor in his absence and our assistant pastor. I just want to thank God for all of you. But can we turn while we're standing? I figure get you now while you're standing to 2 Chronicles. I believe it's the 20th chapter. While you're getting that, I just want to just thank God for all those that traveled and the Lord provided them yet another miracle by allowing people to get here safely. So I thank God. I don't take that for granted. Somebody I heard on the news earlier just had a head-on collision 10 miles from their house right here in this area. And I don't know if they made it. I don't remember the story per se, but, you know, we don't take anything for granted. Let's read this 2 Chronicles chapter 20, and we'll read just 3 verses, 15, 16, and 17. If you do have it, you can say amen. And perhaps it is, wow, trouble is real fast back there. That's my little nickname for trouble. let's read together. And he said, hearken ye, all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou king Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid, nor dismayed, by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow go ye down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz, and ye shall find them at the end of the brook, before the wilderness of Jeruel. Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and seek the salvation of the Lord. O Judah and Jerusalem, fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. May the Lord have a blessing to the reading of his word, as somebody said.
Word of the Lord. Bless the Lord.
Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you for your goodness, your mercy, your kindness, Lord God. Lord, we thank you for those seen as well as unseen things, Lord God. Lord, we just thank you for allowing those that travel to make it back safely. Lord, we just praise you in all things, Lord God, the good and the bad. And Lord God, we want to lift up everybody connected to Mark Rice right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, comfort all that are connected, but especially comfort those that truly care about him. Lord, just lift them up right now in the name of Jesus. We pray and we won't fail to give you the honor, the praise, and the glory. In Jesus' name. Amen. Be seated. I certainly want to remind you to pray for Sister Chapman, Mark's mother. We don't know what that's like to lose someone in that fashion, but whatever it is, sometimes it doesn't hit you until a week, 2 weeks later, a month later, and the grieving process can be a long time, trust me. When you lose someone close, it can be devastating for a long time. And sometimes you cry your tears out and you don't even have any more to go. You just have dry eyes, but you're crying. You know, trust me, I know a little bit about losing loved ones. But anyway, I want to talk to you on a subject. It's a subject, she's mentioned that I'm from Brooklyn, and it's an old street thing, and I'm going to bring it up. Some of you have been in a nice home all your life and never been in a down and dirty fight, but I want to talk to you in a subject called dirty fighting. That is the subject, and somebody here better learn how to fight dirty. Now, I know we don't know what that fully means, but we will see in a minute. Incidentally, somebody said it wasn't in their schedule to go to the emergency room. But anyway, I digress. And a group came from Georgia, and you know, I know that they've been feasting on steak and lobster, and I thank God for that. They always come back with powerful testimonies, and they're on fire. And I said, boy, this is a tough act to follow. They had shrimp, lobster, and now possibly potted meat on a cracker. I'm not sure. But what does that mystery mean anyway? Because the last 30 years. Anyway, I digress again. But I'm talking about a subject, dirty fighting, illegal fighting. It's not fair. If you ever looked at a boxing match, you see the ref, he'll come out and there's two gentlemen there, and he'll tell them, you know, the rules, I already covered this, that, and the other, you understand. But the last two things he'll say, obey my command at all time, and protect yourself at all time. So those are the rules. But we all know that there was a famous match where somebody didn't obey all of the rules when he went to bite someone's ear off. So we see that sometimes people don't follow the rules. Mike Tyson was in trouble in the fight, and he knew he was going to lose. When you get a cut like that, they give you like a round or two to prove yourself, and then they call the fight. He knew that. I'm biting him so I can just be disqualified and get out of here. It was a dirty fight. It's not quite the same thing that I'm talking about, but you'll see later. I'm talking about a man, a king, Jehoshaphat. This man, any one of us, can identify with him. Sometimes when we look in the scripture, we really can't identify with some of the people in the scripture because, let's be honest, they're just a little bit too perfect, a little bit too way up here. You just can't relate. But this man, Jehoshaphat, I can relate to him. I see me in him, and I see some of you in him. You'll see what I'm talking about. If you, let's learn just a little bit about Jehoshaphat. If you turn back to 17, if you don't mind. 17 and let's read two verses. I'll read 17:3. It's saying a whole lot of things, but and the Lord was with Jehoshaphat. That's the most important thing. The Lord was with Jehoshaphat because he walked in the first ways of his father David and sought not after Baal. But now in verse 6, listen to what he did. And there's going to be a pop quiz later on this here, so keep it in memory. Verse 6 reads, and his heart was lifted up in the ways of the Lord. Moreover, he took away the high places and the groves out of Judah. Now this is idolatry that most of the kings dealt with. They allowed it to go on and they partook also. So God is saying, this man Jehoshaphat, he did something that a lot of the kings permitted and allowed to go on. But this man Jehoshaphat is flawed, just like you and I. We're flawed. We don't have it all together all the time. Because we'll have it together for a period, but then we kind of forget and we stop watching. Elder Tinsley mentioned the other day, watch and pray. Sometimes we'll pray and sometimes we forget to watch. So his issues were sometimes he was just a little unassuming. Just to give you a little background, this king, he was king of Judah, but the king of Israel was a wicked king, and he knew that, Ahab. Elder Camp has dealt with it many times. And Ahab, let's pick it up in verse 18, actually, chapter 18. And you'll see Ahab comes to him. And this is us. This is what I'm talking about. This is us. We'll read this verse, verse 3. And Ahab, king of Israel, said unto Jehoshaphat, chapter 18, verse 3. I apologize. Got it? Verse 3. And Ahab, king of Israel, said unto Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, wilt thou go with me to Ramoth Gilead? And he answered him, I am as thou art, and my people as thy people. We will be with thee in war. Stop 1 minute. Now this here, a man is not talking about, hey, can I borrow $5? This is, will you put thousands of people at risk? Me, there is no thought to it. There is nothing preyed on. He just says, possession. Yes. And that's us sometimes. Sometimes the devil is walking about as a roaring lion seeking who he may devour. And sometimes we don't see him because sometimes he's using someone very close to us. Sometimes he's walking about and we don't even realize he's checking us out, looking us up, trying to find a weakness or find when we are weak. I'm talking about fighting dirty, right? Here we go. This is a good man. Remember, God said he's a good man. But after this, he went into war with Ahab. And being so unassuming as you and I are sometimes, he didn't even realize. I didn't pray about it. I didn't think about it. Be careful when nobody's painting you in a corner about what you say yes to or what you say no to. What about saying, let me get back to you? Let me think on it. Let me pray on it. Let me hear a word from God. Yes. Let me just meditate on what you just asked me. Why do we feel it necessary? Yes. When we're not painted in a corner. Yes. We paint ourselves in a corner.
Yes.
Yes. Why would you do this? You got thousands of people at risk. It's like one of the praise team members just walking up and someone says, can they sing next month? Yes. How do you know that? You didn't check with anybody? You didn't pray on anything? The praise team here, there, and everywhere. How do you know that that's what God wanted you to do? It's just like that. I'm trying to make it relatable. I'm talking about dirty fighting. We didn't get there yet, but we're going to get there. Now, Ahab, he didn't even see what Ahab was doing. Will you come with me? And Zephon said, yeah, I'll come with you. He didn't even see that Ahab said, well, listen, the word of God came from the man of God saying that I'm going to die. So here's what we're going to do. You dress up like me, and I'll dress up like one of the other guys, and then we'll go out to war. Me and you, unassuming. All right. Are you kidding me? You don't see what the enemy is doing? It's a trap. It's a trap. You gotta be watching as well as praying. You're gonna dress up as a normal person, and I'm gonna dress in my kingly robe. So they're looking for a king. We already have word you're gonna die, and now you want me to look like you out there? Oh, that sounds good to me. Give me some of that. Sign me up for that. How is this possible? So anyway, the story goes, Ahab and the men came up upon Jehoshaphat, and they say Jehoshaphat screamed as a woman, and the people stopped. The men of war, they stopped because they were confused. There was no honor in killing a woman, so they just stopped, and they spared his life. But Ahab, because the word of God said he was going to die, you can have whatever dress you want to disguise yourself, put a mask on, wear every Halloween costume there is. Dress up like Spider-Man, but guess what? God still knows under the Spider-Man costume who you are. You cannot hide from the word of God. So Ahab died just like the word of God said he would die. And Jehoshaphat was spared. He was spared. Let's go to chapter 19 now. Let's see what happens. Somebody say hallelujah. Verse 19, verse 1. And Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, returned to his house. How? In peace to Jerusalem. And Jehu, the son of Hananiah, the seer, went out to meet him and said to the king, Jehoshaphat, shouldest thou help the ungodly and love them that hate the Lord? Therefore is wrath upon thee. Wait a minute, I lost my place. Therefore is wrath upon thee from before the Lord. But check this out. Nevertheless, there are good things found in thee, for thou hast taken away the groves out of the land, the idolatry, and hast prepared thine heart to seek the Lord. Now this is just telling you that this is me and you. This is just me and you. It's just an average guy set up to be king. We do some great things, all of us, but we all fall short. The Bible says all have fallen short and fall short of the glory of God. So we all can fall short at times. But this man of God tells him, hey, listen, you are wrong for doing this. But no, Jehoshaphat takes it. He's a humble man. He listens and he takes it. And the grows again. He got rid of the idolatry. Let's pick it up now in chapter 20. I'm sorry, it's so much reading. I'm going to skip around a little bit. Before I get to that, I'm going to tell you a situation that happened to me as a kid, and you'll see what I'm talking about later. I was in a bad school in a bad neighborhood, an elementary school, and there was I think I was in the fourth grade, and there was a class in my school for the mentally impaired. And some of them, they put them all the way at the end of the hall, and it was no big deal, except one day we came in and they had it sectioned off. Two of them had gotten into a fight, and the one, his name, I'll never forget their names, because it was devastating to me at the time, his name was Serrano. Now Serrano, he had muscles, but guess what? His muscles had muscles. This kid was like a grown man. But the kid, Abraham, who was even tall, he was tall, he was about tall as me, but he was kind of bushy, you know, probably like me, yeah. But Serrano was probably, actually, I think he looked like, about like Minister Simon. Can you imagine that as a kid? I'm serious. This is what he looked like in my eyes as a fourth grader. I mean, I'm looking like, wow, what is he doing in here? What, does he work here? What class does he have? But, and this particular boy, Serrano, looked pretty normal. He wasn't Down syndrome. He looked, so you would talk to him, and then it would be like, oh, something's not right here, you know. So we've all done that. I'm not making fun or anything like that. But anyway, he wasn't right. He was mentally impaired. I don't know what happened. But the other kid, you could tell that there was something. They got into a fight, and then I found out it was over a cookie. The bigger kid, Abraham, fought. Serrano thought that that cookie belonged to him, and he was going to get it. And the end result was he ripped part of his ear off. He was this strong, this kid. So anyway, knowing this information, I processed information. I was slow, but not that slow. I knew, stay away from Serrano. He is not to be trusted, especially I walk by him, watching my ears. So the school was so bad that in the morning before the kids would disperse to class, they had trouble, everybody's running around. So to keep everybody quiet, kids would stand in a perfect line, just like that, and they would get a lollipop. And the guy would make a big deal, oh, this kid over here is standing still, I'm giving him a lollipop, he's got an 8-merit. I'm like, okay. And I would stand there day after day, still, and never get a lollipop. And once you got one, there was a chance you'd get two, because you already got the attention, you know? So you're standing there, and those lollipops were the best in the world, by the way. I don't know where to buy those, but anyway, I guess again. But so I wanted a lollipop so bad, and I remember standing there, and I remember finally it was me. I got the lollipop, and as soon as I got the lollipop, Serrano stared me down something fierce, like I had stole his lollipop, and he looked at me, and I remember, what is going on now? And fear. I could not move, just shaking, because he was intimidated. His face had muscles in it. It was, I mean, you could see them getting bigger, and, you know, he was mad at me for taking his lollipop, I guess. So I remember him looking at me, and then he circled me, and kind of, and I'm standing there trying to get a lollipop, but now I'm not even worried about a lollipop. I'm worried about my life, so I'm still standing because I can't move. And he's moving to the side, and I remember my eyes. That's when I learned how to watch out of my eyes. That was that day. And I'm looking, and when I couldn't look no more, I turned my head, and then he charged me. And I'm ducking, and I'm running. But the thing heavy, I can get down like that, and ran this way. He was over there, I ran this way. This boy was lightning. He was everywhere. said, I can't do this anymore. Where is the exit? Boom, I hit the exit. It wasn't a fair fight. It wasn't even fair. He would have ripped me in like four pieces. I would have probably died that day. That's the way I say. But I ran out. And when I ran out, I was out on the street and I said, and I kept looking back. But I ran right into my nephew, who I thought was my brother all my life until I was about 11, 2 years older than me. Ran into him. Ooh! What's going on? What are you doing? That guy Serrano was coming after me. I'm looking back. He's like, come on, you don't run from nobody. And he said, come on. I'm like, that dude's gonna tear you up. But this is my brother, my nephew, Daniel, who the pastor prayed for and healed miraculously, and still alive. He was on his deathbed, but anyway, at this time, he's 2 years older than me, and he's walking. He always hung out with the bad dudes. And so I had a lot, I escaped a lot of danger because him hanging out with the bad dudes, they all knew me. So it was kind of a nice thing at times, you know? So he was like, you don't run from nobody. So we went back into school. The next thing you know, the two of them and Geronimo got so scared of Daniel. And I'm looking and I'm saying, and he was telling them, you ever come to my brother, you ever blah, blah, blah. And he said some things that is not permitted here. Nor will I ever say it. So from that day on, I had no fear because I knew Daniel, and he was Serrano. I might have been scared of Serrano, but Serrano was scared of Daniel. And I said, thank God for Daniel. I would have kissed him in the mouth. I'm telling you, I was so happy. I would have quit school that day. I would have probably been in the circus to this day. I would have just quit. I was not going back to that school had it not been for my nephew, my brother Daniel. I thank God for that. Anyhow, I digress. Let's get back to the task at hand. Chapter 20. And I seen that guy when I was like 17. I was still scared. And my father drove up and he parked near somewhere and he's walking downtown. I was like, whoa, he's still big. He's still huge. Look at him. I'm not kidding. It was frightful. If I saw him today, I'd probably shake a little bit. Just a little bit. Might as well be honest about it. But here we go. Jehoshaphat, just like us. Just like us. Chapter 20, verse 3. Now, before I get here, what happened is, this is what happens to us when we're down. Sometimes the devil feels like, that's a good time to throw some more on. Because now he's all happy and relaxed that that's over with, but now look at what I'm going to do now. So after you read that, he returned in peace. But now he gets message, a great multitude now is coming up against you. So Jehoshaphat didn't even have time to breathe, but he learned some things. By going through some things, he learned. And verse 3 says, Jehoshaphat feared after he got that information and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaim a fast throughout all Judah. We're going to just skip around. Let's go to verse 16. Tomorrow go ye down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz, and ye shall find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeriel. Or I pronounced things wrong. Verse 17, just a little part of it. Stand ye still. Verse 18, you keeping up trouble? And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground. And all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. Last part of verse 19. Now these are the people that came up. But anyway, they stood up and praised the Lord, God of Israel, with a loud voice. Verse 21. And when he had consulted with the people, he anointed singers unto the Lord. Let's skip that and go down to verse 22. See, we move along pretty quickly, right? And when they had begun to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambush against the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, which were come up against Judah, and they were smitten. For the children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of the Mount Seir, utterly to slay and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, everyone helped to destroy one another. What I just been reading, you don't realize it, but it's dirty fighting. It's unfair fighting. It's unconventional fighting. What God did was, he said, you're getting ready to go into battle. What I want you to do, Jehoshaphat, I want you to get personal prayer. So Jehoshaphat prayed. There ain't no praying in war, is it? Is there praying in war? What part of the battle is that? And then God went a step further, and he said, what I want you to do, I want you not to nourish yourself. I don't want you to eat anything. Hold on one second. You want me to tell everybody, we're going to go out and fight, and we're not going to have any nourishment. Hold on. Let me wrap my head around that. You don't want me to eat anything. How long is this battle going to be? I don't know, but you don't want me to eat a thing?
Jesus.
I'm fighting a dirty fight. It ain't even fair. What's about to go on, it ain't fair for you. It ain't fair for you. But God never told me that I had to do it a different way. So the rules say I can do this. To you it's dirty, but to me it's the way my God delivers.
Yes.
So we hear that there was prayer and then there was fasting going on. Hold on. Hold on. That's crazy, right? We're going to go to war, but we're going to fast? All right. Now, I want you to just worship. And they started worshiping. And what part of battle is that? What do you mean worship? This is time to get it on. You hear that guy say, let's get ready to rumble? That's this time. But you want me to worship? What kind of general would I be to tell my people to worship? But there's been some things going on in your life and their lives that you didn't know unless they tell you. So I want you to worship. Open your mouth and worship. So they're walking and they're worshiping. And then he goes a step further and he says, but I want you to put singers out there. But where are the singers going to be? In the back? No, I put them right up front. Wait a minute. What about my big dudes? I don't have the ladies along in the front. You want me to put some little guy that sings up in the front? You want me to put women and children that sing? What we didn't read was they had little ones out there too. The women and the children. Little ones. Put them all up front singing. Wait a minute. That's crazy. How can I do that? That's unfair. In my mind, maybe it seemed unfair for me. I'm going out weak, praying, worshiping. Now we're singing. There ain't no song out there. There ain't no singing and battling. I was singing. And the Lord said, I'm going to go a step further. Your enemy is not here. He's not over there. He's exactly right here. You don't have to waste energy looking around. You don't need no GPS situation. I'm going to tell you where they are. They're right here, down by the brook. That's where you're going to find them. So as they're going and they're on their way, they're just singing, can't nobody do me like Jesus? Hallelujah. They're singing. I love you. I love you, Lord. They're just singing and they're walking. And you know what? They begin to get happy out there. And they started thinking, when I think of the goodness, is doing. I need to hear him a little bit louder. I need to hear him sound good to me, but I need it a little more when they try to say thank you, Jesus, and sing it and praise it. The enemy started hearing this, and the enemy, God put a mic under their feet. Their feet, and there's a true saying that one shall chase a thousand, but two shall put 10,000 to flight. But by the time you get to four, guess what? You're at 1 million people running. Running for what? Singing and praising and lifting the Lord up. You're singing and lifting the Lord up. The answer to what is going on here. It's not like 2 million people coming. I can't believe what's happening. And then another one here, thing happened. God said, you're fighting them. I'm going to help them. I'm going to help you. But them, they're going to turn on themselves. Have you ever gone to a boxing match and run up?
Sometimes we're no better. We just fall into it again. But God
God is merciful. We know him to be a merciful God. But here's the thing. Ending up in verse 32. And this is why I say this is us, as we all stand at this time. This is why I say I can relate to Jehoshaphat. Remember those high places that God especially pointed out that he liked what Jehoshaphat did with the high places? After the victory was won, after it was all over with, verse 32, and Jehoshaphat, he walked in the way of Asa his father and departed not from it, doing that which was right in the sight of the Lord. How many know we got some howbeits in our lives? Howbeit, the high places were not taken away. For as yet, their hearts, the people had not prepared their hearts unto the Lord their God. Now wait a minute. It said, God is not a liar. He got rid of these high places. But how many know, like a dog returning to vomit, we do that sometimes. We fall right back into the same situation. And God praised them for so much of getting rid of this idolatry. But as he's going on his way with victory, he forgot to watch and forgot to pray. And these things crept back in. The devil's never convinced. The devil's never convinced. He was a good man. There was some good in him, just like you and I. Howbeit, he let those robes come back and wasn't paying attention. God bless you. Thank you. In Jesus' name.